Good morning and praise the Lord. Today is the sixth lesson which we are studying, going to study on biblical spirituality and what we have been hearing this morning about the holiness of God. As you know, it is a very much related theme to the fear of God, godliness. And that is what spirituality is all about. Real spirituality is spiritual maturity, a spiritual discernment, a spiritual recognition of who God is and what are His righteous demands on my life. The most familiar verses, one of the most familiar verses which we always refer to in Matthew 6:33, we teach in Sunday school our children that wonderful chorus, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It's so sad that people many a times do not really understand the immensity of the meaning of that statement. The Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So the kingdom of God is the rule of God. It is the government of God. Seek you first that, my rule, my authority, my holiness in your life, my authority, that should be your priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The next part, and His righteousness, represents His righteous and holy standards. So now I think we are able to appreciate the meaning of it in a better way. The Lord Jesus said, seek ye first. You first seek my government, my rule, my authority in your life. Let me be the Lord and boast. Let me be on the driver's seat of your life. You allow that. That is something you have to allow. He won't forcefully take it. He is your Savior, but He is also the Lord. But if you have to be the real Lord of your life, in your everyday life, and you want to reflect His holy standards, let Him be the Lord and Master of your life. Submit to His authority. Seek ye first the kingdom, government. Today, you know, like the kingdom of Saudi Arabia is probably the only kingdom about which we think today, you know. So we don't have kingdoms today. The United States, the kingdom of United States, we don't say like that. Only about very few countries today we use that. Jesus is the king and He has a kingdom. And we are citizens of that kingdom in a spiritual sense. And one day He will come and establish a literal kingdom. At that time, we will rule and reign with Him. But today, the spiritual kingdom which He has established in our hearts, He wants to rule there as the master, as the judge, as the Lord. So the Lord told His disciples in Matthew 6, as you await the literal kingdom, right now you are kingdom citizens, kingdoms living here and now. That is the Sermon on the Mount. Kingdom living here and now as you wait for the literal kingdom. I hope you get it, because people mess up the message of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, that is, you in a spiritual sense, we are kingdom citizens. Kingdom living here and now. What are the holy standards which we should pursue in recognition of the glory of God, the holiness of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the grace of God? And you are awaiting the literal coming of that kingdom. As you await the kingdom, right now, you are living and serving the king of that kingdom that will come. But another kingdom which He has already established in your hearts, say, delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and you have been transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son. The word delivered and transferred in the Greek language have been used for the kings bringing people from another country and giving them citizenship in a new country. It is exactly the same word that is used there. How beautiful that thought is. Delivered from the country of darkness, kingdom of darkness, and transplanted to a new country, the country of his dear son, kingdom of his dear son. And one day the literal kingdom coming. Today we are enjoying the spiritual blessings, the spiritual aspect of that kingdom. Kingdom living here and now as we await the literal kingdom. So our priority should be the rule and reign and the authority and the governmental control of that kingdom in our day-to-day life, and seeking its holy, righteous standards. Then all these things, in the context, all these things are the things for which the pagans, the Gentiles, work hard and worry about. What shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? That is the context. But the Lord said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. If you seek my authority and my kingdom, all these things, the material things, what you need, not the luxuries and the comforts, the basic necessities of life you need to serve me in my kingdom business, passive voice, it will be added unto you. Not that you will get, it will be credited to your account. I think many of us come from assemblies and families where we have proven it literally. Don't you think so? That is, you know, our parents and many who have gone before us, they left everything to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, just believing that all these things will be added to you. And here we are, all these things added to us. So, the holiness of God is the righteous standard of God. And our spirituality, our spiritual maturity, our spiritual discernment, the true godliness is a reflection of our daily walk with the Lord in the light of his word under the control of the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit who produces spirituality in us, because spirituality is something related to pneuma, pneumaticos, the spiritual man. He is a man of the spirit. He is controlled by the spirit. He is guided by the spirit. He is influenced by the spirit. He is blessed by the spirit. He produces the fruit of the spirit. And that is how the Lord uses him. Even though we are not sinlessly perfect in the best way possible, you know, the Lord does, the Spirit of God does his wondrous work in us through his word, and then produces a spiritual maturity and leads us to Christ's likeness. That is what biblical spirituality is all about. It is 100% internal, demonstrated and manifested in our daily Christian living, reflecting the holy standards of the kingdom of God. So, we will look into the Word of God, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, where we read about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because that is the key to the pneumaticos, the spiritual man. A spiritual man is one who is controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting that most of the work of the Holy Spirit is positionally done to us. For example, baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't read that, be baptized by the Spirit. No, you were all baptized in the aorist tense, past tense. That happened once and for all. You don't have to do anything about it. Whether you are spiritually mature or mature, whether you are walking with the Lord or not, as a regenerate believer, that is something that is positionally done to you, baptism of the Spirit. What about the sealing of the Spirit? Be sealed with the Spirit, by the Spirit? No, no commandment. It is also something already done to you. What about the anointing of the Spirit? Be anointed? No, the anointing dwells in you. All these things are already done deal, whether we know it or not. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It is a part of the positional sanctification once and for all. So the baptism of the Spirit, the sealing of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, people confuse these terms, you know. And that is all done deal, whether we know it or not. Positionally, it has been done. God has given us those blessings. We don't have to seek it. It's already there. The moment you believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But there is a very important commandment in relation to the Holy Spirit, in relation to our practical Christian living. That is, in the imperative mode, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Commandment. That is a part of the developmental sanctification, the daily sanctification. Be holy as I am holy in your life. As we heard, it is not be holy like I am holy. No. For, because I am holy. Follow my holy standards and righteousness. And imitate my holiness, the holy character. And that is only possible, not by our flesh, not by legalism, but by the work of the Holy Spirit as we willingly, happily, voluntarily cooperate with Him in yielding to His control in our life. That is why that particular doctrine about the filling of the Holy Spirit is commanded to us. It is something in which we also have a part, even though it is done to us by the Holy Spirit. So it is in relation to the practical Christian living. All other doctrines of the Holy Spirit are related to the positional aspect, which are already done to you. You don't have to worry, it's done deal. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some very important observation. It is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, it is in the present continuous tense. That is, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That means it is not a once and for all thing. It is a continuous thing, continually submitting to the authority, direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit in all areas of my life, and I being influenced in my life and in my decisions, in my business, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my ministry, in my mission, being influenced, controlled, saturated by His leadership to make that decision, to say yes to certain things and to say no to certain things. Why did you say no to that? Because you are a spiritually mature person controlled by the Holy Spirit. Why did you say yes to certain things? Because that was God's will and you were convinced about it and you embraced it and you have a holy boldness and authority in your life, because you know you are pleasing the Lord. You are not perfect. With all your limitation, you are walking with the Lord in the light of His word. And when you fail and fall, you know about that, you immediately get up and continue your walk. So be filled, command, imperative mode, continuous action, present continuous tense, be being filled, and something. It is in the passive voice. That means we don't do it. It is the Spirit who does it as we yield to Him. The only thing we do is we yield. And He fills us. Something done to us. So it is not like the charismatics thing that we getting more of the Holy Spirit. No. It is the Holy Spirit getting more of Alex Kurian. That is what filling of the Spirit. As some people wrongly understand this doctrine, oh, I'm getting more of the Holy Spirit. No. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, positionally. That also is done deal. But when I am filled means, when I submit to His authority, in the light of what the Lord has taught me through His word, His holy demands, righteousness, holiness, all the things which we hear every day, in our quiet time, in our reading, in the ministry of the word, the corrections, the doctrines, and the guidance, and the rebuke, and the reproof, all those things that the Spirit of God comes, Lord, I understand, I submit. We don't want to build a wall or a big dam to prevent the flow of the Spirit of God in our life. He can do that, you know, that is grieving the Spirit, resisting the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. We can do that. But in being filling, no, I'm not building a wall or a dam or a hindrance. Let Him come, let Him flow, let Him fill. And I'm not getting more of Him, He is getting more of me. Some of you brothers and sisters, let me say some of us, that is a great need. The Holy Spirit wants to get more of you so that you can be more holy, pure, Christ-like, more peaceful, more joyful, more committed in your personal life, in your worship, in your family life, in your parenting, in your husband-wife relationship, all these things, you know. So it is we submitting, that is what we call the consecration, dedication. You know, consecration and dedication is our yieldedness to the authority and work of the Holy Spirit in every sphere of our life. Now, that much probably many of us know. But it is very important that Paul writes about the filling of the Holy Spirit in the context of Christian living. Many of you know the very famous Dallas Seminary professor Howard Hendricks, one of the most beloved professors of the seminary and all the students world over, people remember him. He is the one who taught for more than 50 years, I believe, hermeneutics and Bible interpretation in Dallas Seminary, one of the basic courses. And one thing which he used to tell us, tell the students, and also in his books you will find it. You know, context, 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 context is everything. So when you read and understand and interpret a passage, first thing, look into the context. He would repeat it 5 times. He said, that's everything. That's where it begins. So this filling of the Holy Spirit is not in a doctrinal passage. It is in the passage of Christian walk. Look at verse 15. Verse 18, the commandment, but look at the context. Verse 15. See then, you walk circumspectly or carefully. You walk carefully. So it is about the careful walk of a Christian, not as fools, but as wise. So this is about walking carefully in Christian life and also walking in wisdom, not as fools, because even Christians can walk as fools. Do you know that? You can walk as a foolish person, making foolish decisions, getting into so many entanglements of foolishness, like the people of the world, like the carnal men, or like the natural man. But the pneumaticos, he walks and lives in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. So the context is about Christian walk. Now, the epistle of Ephesians is an epistle of walk. So let me show you chapter 2, verse 2, verse 1 and 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. That is the walk of sin, the walk of unbelievers. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, but walk in the futility of their mind. Two times the word walk in chapter 4, verse 17. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 and 2, therefore, imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. Verse 8, chapter 5. Walk as children of light. Verse 15, see then, you walk carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Then the verses take you to the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, peripatavo, the Greek verb, that is the context of Christian walk, that you deliberately plan and think, put your motion of your legs together to go to a desired place. Now, in NIV, instead of walk, it is live, because that is walk means live, that's what it is. But why the most of the translation, the original word is actually walk, because that is a Hebraic idiom, a Hebraic expression. Walking. The Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament, when it was translated into Greek, the Septuagint translators used the same word for the Hebrew word walk. So example, Psalm 1:1. You know, blessed is the man, the godly man, who does not walk. So, in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, wisdom literature, so many references to the walk of the wicked and the walk of the righteous. So, that is the original word is walk. But NIV, for people to understand, you know, slightly paraphrased its meaning as live. So it is living. So it is the manner of life. It is the manner of our life, our daily life. It is the customary usage for the daily life of a child of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And seven times it is used in the epistle to the Ephesians, about walking in unity, walking in humility, walking in purity, walking in love, walking in truth, walking in wisdom, walking in light, and the last chapter, spiritual warfare, walking in victory. That is the calling to which the Lord has called us, that kind of a walk. So, this passage about the filling of the Holy Spirit, the pneumaticos, the spiritual man, it's all about the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. That not the work of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit, leading to maturity, Christ-likeness, holity and purity, commitment, dedication, all those things. So, it is in the context of Christian walk. So, it's not a doctrinal passage. The doctrinal passage finished chapters 1, 2 and 3. 4, 5 and 6 are the practical, about practical Christian life on the basis of the doctrine that has already been established in the first three chapters. It is in that context Paul writes about the control, the influence, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. So it is a very practical doctrine. So verse 15, see then that you walk carefully, circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, making the most of the time. So you need wisdom and maturity to redeem the time, making use of the time. The word time there is, the two words, Greek words in the New Testament is chronos and kairos. Chronos is the calendar time, February 11th and 12th, 13th, like that. The kairos time is the most important, significant time period and epoch which God has determined to fulfill his plan and purpose. So, Paul redeeming the time is not the chronos time. It is not the time like you redeem the opportunities today. No. Redeem the opportunities God has given to you in the boundary of your life and time period which God has allowed you. Your time period, your time, your life, your age, that season, that pivotal moments in your life. The season, the epoch of your life, it is bounded by his predetermined will. And you are in that time period, kairos, and make use of the opportunities God gives to you in that bounded time of his holy will and purpose, that fixed period of time, the boundaries of our life and the opportunities for service, sovereignly bounded by the predetermined plan and sovereign will of God. Fulfill, redeem, make every opportunity. And that kairos time, we live in the chronos moments in our everyday life. Today is February 11, tomorrow is 12, you know. So that holy will of God, that bounded time, the boundaries of that time, God's will, plan and purpose for our life, we have to live it out in our everyday chronos moments. Very heavy truth, very important truth, you know. And what? How amazing to think that is how the Holy Spirit inspired the apostle to write this. He is not writing his philosophy. He is not writing his opinion. This is the holy word of God. And redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. The repetition, do not be foolish, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, we are called to live according to the will of God. Understand. Now, the word understand also is a very important word, which is kind of a rare word Paul uses here. That is, give your mind to something to get hold of it. Realize it. Enjoy that. Get hold of this truth. Understand is not just like knowledge, like, you know, Austin is the capital of Texas. No, not that kind of knowledge. It is appreciating and understanding with discernment God's word, God's truth, God's plan. And it is with that sense what the will of the Lord is. Then, and it's continuing, you know, with that connective word, and do not be get drunk with wine. When a person is drunk with wine, he is full of the intoxicating liquor or wine or whatever he has drank. And that controls him. That foreign substance controls his talk and look and his facial expression and the way he walks. That is why the breath test and the, you know, the other tests the police sometimes does. They know if you are you are not controlled by your sane mind. You are controlled by a foreign substance. So he acts and talks and walks like as though he is controlled by what is inside him. Then we read, do not do that, but be being filled. So what is the meaning of filling? When a person is controlled by an intoxicating drink, that intoxicating drink controls him. In the same way, when you are drunk, when you are controlled and influenced by the Spirit of God controls you. So that is the most important truth about spirituality, pneumaticos, a spiritual man controlled by the Spirit. God willing, we will look at in little more detail in our last lesson, God willing, next week. What an amazing truth. You know, that spiritually minded person is a man who is not a perfect man, he is not a sinless man. He's not a perfect husband or father or elder or teacher or preacher or deacon. No, he is a man controlled by the Spirit. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the amazing words of your holy and written word. And we pray that what we have heard about holiness and what we have now meditated about spirituality, spiritual discernment, fullness and filling of the Holy Spirit, all these things may become a great reality in the life of each and every one of us. Father, we pray that ELBC may be full of men and women, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, who are spiritually minded people, spiritually mature people, discerning and understanding and knowing the will of God, and producing the fruit of the Spirit, doing your will in personal life, married life, family life, in parenting, in our career, in our missions, in our ministry. We know it is a great challenge. There are so many opposing forces every day in our life, and we pray that thou may give us victory through the Holy Spirit who is in us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. To his amazing protection and fullness we commit ourselves. Send us with your blessing and with the warmth of your word and your grace. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.